Okay, Michael. Ready to go on?
Yes, I think so.
So, just think then how great it is to be free from all those black shadows at the back of the mind. All those worries about health risks that we try to hide from ourselves without ever quite succeeding. All gone. But the greatest benefit of all is to be free of that permanent feeling of emptiness, of insecurity, that makes us close our minds to the black side of smoking.
Okay, look, you make a good case, but it still doesn't alter the fact that trying to give up the bloody things, for me at least, is hell on earth, right?
Wrong. That's part of what I've been trying to get through to you. Giving up smoking isn't difficult. In fact, it's ridiculously easy. Why should it be hard after all? In order to stop smoking, all you have to do is not smoke anymore. No one forces you to do it. You don't need to do it to survive. So if you want to stop, why should it be difficult? In fact, as I say, it isn't. People make it difficult because they go about it the wrong way.
What do you mean?
They try to give up by using what I call the willpower method. I mentioned it right at the beginning. By the willpower method, I mean any method whereby the smoker feels he's making some sort of sacrifice.
I still don't follow.
Okay, let's look at what happens under the willpower method in detail. For most of our lives as smokers, we're vaguely intending to give up someday, only not quite yet. But then occasionally, something will trigger off an actual effort to stop. Health, money, social stigma, something, right?
Yes. Every so often I start thinking that I've got to stop. With me it's just, a sort of feeling that I lack energy.
Well, whatever the reason, you suddenly look at the pros and cons and the answer is crystal clear. The advantages of giving up far outweigh the disadvantages.
Yes.
However, although you know you'll be better off, you still feel you'll be making a sacrifice. Now, as I've said over and over again, that's an illusion. But it's a powerful one. At this stage, you really do believe that a cigarette helps you through life, that it makes the good times better and the bad times less bad. That's part of the brainwashing we talked about. The brainwashing from ads, from society in general, which is reinforced by the brainwashing from your own addiction. Then added to that, before you even start the attempt, is the even more powerful brainwashing about how difficult it is to give up. You know all the stories, Mike.
God, yes. Smokers who've stopped for months and are still desperately craving a cigarette. People who've given up for years and still mooch around moaning about how much they'd love to have one. Guys who've stopped completely for ages, who weaken and have one cigarette and end up hooked again. And, of course, I've been through it myself. Various failed attempts.
Right. So what's the upshot of all this? Instead of starting with the feeling, great, have you heard the news? I haven't got to smoke anymore. You start off with a feeling of doom and gloom, as if you're trying to climb Everest. A lot of people even begin by telling their friends and family how awful it's going to be. Look, sorry, I'm trying to give up smoking. I'll probably be impossible to live with over the next few weeks. Try to bear with me. Hopeless. Most attempts like that are doomed before they start. But let's suppose you actually survive a few days without a cigarette. Fine, the congestion is rapidly disappearing from your lungs. There's more money in your pocket. In other words, the reasons you decided to stop in the first place are rapidly disappearing from your thoughts. The urgency of the situation that prompted the attempt has gone. And meanwhile, on the other side of the argument, the little nicotine monster inside your stomach hasn't had his fix. Suddenly, the person who a few days earlier was listing all the reasons to stop is now desperately searching for a valid reason to start again. So you're saying things like,
I just can't concentrate. I'm getting irritable and bad-tempered. I can't do my job properly. I'm being appalling to my family and friends. Let's face it, for everyone's sake, I've got to start smoking again. I've just got to accept the fact I'm a confirmed smoker and there's no way I'll ever be happy again without a cigarette.
Oh, this is stupid. Life's too short. The bomb could go off. I could step under a bus tomorrow. Anyway, everything gives you cancer these days.
It was a stupid time to pick. I'm under far too much pressure at the moment. I just can't handle this additional stress as well.
At which point you generally give in. You start off feeling that you're making a sacrifice, so you begin to feel deprived, which is a form of stress. And one of the times your brain triggers, have a cigarette, is precisely when you're under stress. so as soon as you stop, you want a cigarette. But you can't have one because you stopped, which makes you more depressed and sets the trigger off again. There's another thing too. What makes stopping by this method so hard is the fact that you're waiting for something to happen. Now, if your object is to pass your driving test, say, then as soon as you've passed the test, you've clearly achieved your object. Okay, so you decide your object is to give up smoking.
Yes, that's right. I say something like, if I can go on long enough without a cigarette, the urge to smoke will eventually go.
Okay, but the problem is, how can you know when you've achieved it? The answer is, you never do, because you're waiting for something to happen, and nothing will. Far from forgetting about smoking, you become obsessed with it. Depression creeps in.
Yes, I know what you mean. All those questions. How long will the craving last? Will I ever be happy again? Will I ever want to get up in the morning? Will I ever enjoy a meal again? Or a party? How will I ever cope with work, with other types of stress in the future?
That's it. You mope about waiting for things to improve. But of course, in the meantime, the cigarette isn't becoming less precious, it's becoming more precious than ever. Actually, the fact is, something does happen. If you survive for 3 weeks, the actual physical craving for nicotine disappears. Not that this solves the mental problems. In fact, it can ruin the whole exercise. You sense that you've kicked the habit, so you light up a cigarette to prove it. Brilliant. It tastes awful, so you're filled with a nice, warm, self-satisfied glow. Except, of course, that you've just put fresh nicotine into your body, so you immediately feel the need for another one. And because it tasted ghastly, you feel there's no harm in that. And before you know it, you're back on 20 a day.
But people do manage to stop that way, by willpower, don't they?
Certainly, but they're in the minority, and they find it a long and difficult process. And even those that do succeed go through the rest of their lives in a vulnerable state, because they never quite got rid of the brainwashing which told them that cigarettes give you a boost in certain situations. They still believe it. They still, in the back of their minds, feel just that little bit deprived. So they're the ones who are always in danger of starting to smoke again, even after years of not smoking. A serious trauma in their lives, or a particular social occasion, will always tend to tempt them just to have the one, which activates the nicotine monster in the stomach, sets up the craving again, and they're back where they started.
So, what's the answer?
The answer is that to give up successfully, we don't just have to purge the nicotine from our bodies, we have to purge the brainwashing about deprivation from our minds as well. We have to feel totally positive about giving up, rather than regarding it as an unpleasant necessity.
I sometimes think...
Yes?
Well, I mean, wouldn't cutting down be the best of both worlds? You wouldn't feel deprived, but you'd be healthier and better off.
No, you're completely wrong. In fact, it's the worst possible thing to try and do.
Oh.
You've tried it?
Well, yes.
After a failed attempt to stop?
Yes.
Yes, that's what most people do. The mistake comes from thinking of smoking as a habit that you can control. It's not a habit, it's an addiction. And the nature of any addiction is to want more and more, not less and less. In order to cut down permanently, you'd have to exercise massive willpower and discipline for the rest of your life.
And if you haven't got enough willpower to stop...
Then you certainly won't have enough to cut down. Stopping is far easier and less painful.
I said to myself, OK, I just can't face the thought of never having a cigarette again. So from now on, I'll cut myself down strictly to 10 a day. If I can get into the habit of just having the 10, then I can either hold it there or cut down further in the future.
Did you manage it?
No, I was back to normal within a couple of days.
Quite. You see, once you decide to cut down, certain terrible things happen. You get the worst of all worlds. You're still addicted to nicotine, and you still believe in the virtues of cigarettes. But you're now wishing your life away, waiting for the next cigarette. Before, whenever you wanted one, you lit it, which at least partially relieved your withdrawal pangs. Now, in addition to the normal stresses and strains of life, you're actually causing yourself to suffer the withdrawal pangs from nicotine almost all the time. So you're making yourself miserable and bad-tempered. Before, you used to smoke automatically. You were barely aware of doing it. But once you have to wait for it, every cigarette becomes precious. And the longer you wait, the more enjoyable it becomes, because the more urgent the craving is that has to be relieved.
Okay, so my choice is either A, cutting down for life, self-imposed torture, and I wouldn't be able to keep it up anyway, or B, continuing to smoke.
Or C, being nice to yourself and giving up.
Hmm. There are casual smokers, though. I mean, they do exist. I must say, they're the ones I envy. It would be lovely to be able to take it or leave it.
Ah, but things aren't what they seem. These people aren't really enviable at all. First of all, their position is in no way stable. As I just said, the natural tendency of any addiction is towards an increase in the intake of the drug. So all casual smokers tend to be on a slippery slope down to the 20 a day plus with the rest of us. We all started off as casual smokers after all.
Come on, I know folk on 5 a day. Been that way for years.
Okay, first of all, are they really only smoking 5 a day? Most casual smokers smoke far more than they admit to. Watch them at wedding receptions and parties. They'll be chain-smoking away like the best of them. Secondly, okay, say they really do only smoke 5 a day. Why? If they enjoy a cigarette, why only 5? If they can take it or leave it, why bother to smoke at all? And think about it. They're only relieving their withdrawal pangs for about an hour a day. What about the rest of the time? Admirable fortitude and self-control, no doubt. But isn't it just a teeny bit pointless?
What about the people who only smoke on special occasions?
Well, yes, we all do that to start with, though, don't we? But isn't it amazing how the number of occasions seems to rapidly increase? Before we know it, we're smoking all the time.
But there are people who've stopped and who still have the occasional one.
And in many ways, they're the most pathetic of all. They go through the whole of their lives believing they're being deprived by not smoking. More often, actually, the occasional one becomes two, and they're off on the slippery slope again.
Okay, it's pretty clear then. You don't think I should envy casual smokers?
Not in the least. They're always in imminent danger of slipping down into smoking full time. It's a mug's game. Get it into your head. There is never any reason to smoke. Take it from me. Life is infinitely sweeter without cigarettes.
So, the idea of just one cigarette, just as a special treat now and again, that's out the window as well, I suppose.
Oh, yes. There's no such thing. It's that just one cigarette which gets us started in the first place. It's that just one cigarette to tide us over a difficult patch or for a special occasion which defeats most of our efforts to stop. It's the thought of that odd special one in the morning or after a meal which often prevents us from trying to stop at all, or when we do, causes much of our feelings of misery and depression. Get it clear. There is no such thing as one cigarette. It's a chain reaction that will last for the rest of your life unless you break it. You're stuck either with a lifetime of misery or with the idea of never again smoking any cigarettes at all. That's the choice.
Yes. Okay, you're probably right.
So you'll give up?
Yes. I can't wait to be free.
Good. The time to stop is now, or as close to now as you can manage. Remember, timing is important to give yourself a real chance. First of all, think about those occasions when smoking appears to be important to you.
Well, okay. I'm in business. I tend to smoke at work to relieve stress. But, sorry, to give myself the illusion of relieving stress.
All right. In that case, it's best to pick a relatively slack period. Maybe your annual holiday. People who mainly smoke during boring or relaxing periods should go in the reverse direction. Pick a time when they're going to be fully occupied. In any event, take the matter seriously. After all, you're about to undertake the single most important event in your life. Look ahead for a period of about 3 weeks and try to anticipate any activity which might lead to your failing to go through with it. Time the start point carefully. In the meantime, don't attempt to cut down. That'll only create the illusion that the cigarette is enjoyable. In fact, between now and the time you stop, it actually helps to force as many of the filthy things down into your lungs as possible. So you're even more conscious of how marvellous it'll be when you allow yourself to stop doing it. But after listening to this tape, whatever you do, don't fall into the trap of just saying, yes, all right, but not now, later, then putting it out of your mind. Work out your timetable, your precise stopping point now, and look forward to it. Remember, you aren't giving anything up. On the contrary, you're about to receive a whole load of really marvellous new benefits, new gains, new advantages.
I suppose part of the problem is that the smoker's actually doing something, and the non-smoker isn't. That's why he feels deprived.
Yes, that's right. That's how the con works. But what you have to get clear in your head before you start is that it's not the non-smoker that's being deprived, it's the poor smoker who's deprived of health, energy, money, confidence, peace of mind, courage, tranquility, freedom, and self-respect. Get out of the habit of envying smokers and start seeing them as the miserable, pathetic creatures they really are. You wouldn't envy a heroin addict, so don't envy the poor nicotine addicts. Have pity on them. We're nearly at the point where we'll talk about the method itself. Before we do, just a word about incentives.
What you mean, my family and I can have a marvellous holiday with all the money I'll save, that sort of thing. That's very sensible. Good idea.
No, I'm afraid not.
No?
No. It's a false approach. For one thing, any self-respecting smoker would rather smoke 52 weeks in the year and not have a holiday at all. And what's liable to go through his mind is...
Not only am I going to have to abstain for 50 weeks, but how the hell am I going to enjoy a holiday without a cigarette anyway?
All that does is to increase the sacrifice the smoker feels he's making, which makes the cigarette even more precious than it was before.
How about pacts? In the office, for instance. A lot of people agreeing to stop together. Isn't that a good idea either?
No, because the incentive is false. Why should you want to stop smoking just because other people are doing so? All it does is create additional pressure and increase the element of sacrifice. There's a terrific sense of achievement in giving up smoking. And when you're doing it alone, the emphasis of the limelight you receive from your friends, relatives and colleagues can be a tremendous boost to help you over the first few days. If you're sharing the credit, that boost is reduced.
So incentives are out?
They're all phony. For heaven's sake, if the £25,000 you spend in a lifetime doesn't stop you, or the 1 in 4 risk of obscene diseases, or the self-disgust, or the mental torture, or all the other reasons for giving up that are there all the time, if none of these stop you, how on earth are a few artificial incentives going to help? All they'll do will be to make the sacrifice appear worse. Concentrate on the other side of the question. What is it doing for me? Absolutely nothing. Why do I need to do it? You don't. You're only punishing yourself.
Right.
Okay. We've now reached a crucial point. The point at which I'm going to give you the actual instructions on the easy way to stop smoking. Just brace yourself and we'll get down to business. Right, Michael. Here we go. Crunch time. Ready?
Yes, I think so.
The easy way to stop smoking. All you have to do is follow these instructions.
I've got a pen and pad ready to jot them down.
Okay, it's ridiculously easy to stop smoking. You have to do 2 things right now. 1, make the decision that you're never going to smoke again. And 2, don't mope about it, rejoice about it.
What's as simple as that?
It's as simple as that.
Well, why couldn't you just have said that in the first place?
Because you wouldn't have believed me. As I've said again and again, the main problem in stopping isn't the chemical addiction, it's the brainwashing. I was trying to get you into the state of mind where you see the idea of stopping not in a negative way as a deprivation, but in a positive way as a release. And to convince you that it's the state of mind with which you regard smoking which is the determining factor as to how easy giving it up is going to be. Do you see what I mean?
I think so. You mean kid myself that I don't enjoy smoking?
Just the reverse. I mean, stop kidding yourself that you do.
Aren't you overlooking the withdrawal pangs?
No, I'm not. Tell me, when you leave the dentist after the final visit, are you miserable?
No, it's a marvellous feeling.
Even though your jaw might be aching like mad?
Well, it doesn't bother me because I know the pain will go.
Exactly. We can cope with pain. It's the fear, the doubts, the uncertainty that make it difficult to stop. The withdrawal pangs from nicotine are so mild. We suffer them all our lives without even realising we're drug addicts. And that's the only reason we go on punishing ourselves. Anyway, get it into your head, Michael. It's smokers that suffer withdrawal pangs. And unless you stop feeding the monster, you'll go on suffering them. The disease starts when you light the first cigarette and ends as soon as you extinguish the last one. So there are certain essential parts you have to have clearly in your mind before you start. 1, you must be able to feel that you can really stop. Millions of other people have done it, and you're no different than they are. The only person who can make you smoke that next cigarette is you. 2, there is absolutely nothing to give up. On the contrary, there are enormous positive gains to be made. I don't just mean you'll be richer and healthier. I mean you'll enjoy the good times more and be less miserable during the bad times. 3. Get it crystal clear. There is no such thing as one cigarette. It's a drug addiction and a chain reaction. 4. You should see the whole business of smoking, not in the way that it's sold to you, as a sociable habit that might just possibly injure you, but as it really is, total drug addiction, and the number one killer poison in Western society. Face up to the fact that whether you like it or not, you have got the disease. It won't go away because you ignore it. Remember that like all crippling diseases, it not only lasts for life, but gets worse and worse, and that the easiest time to cure it is now. 5. Separate the disease, the chemical addiction, from the frame of mind of being a smoker or a non-smoker. All smokers, given the opportunity, would jump at the chance to go back to the time before they were hooked. Well, you have that chance today. Don't even think of it as giving up smoking. As soon as you have smoked your last cigarette, you have immediately joined a new and wonderful group, the group of non-smokers. A smoker is one of those poor wretches who has to go through life destroying himself with cigarettes. A non-smoker is someone that doesn't. Once you've made the decision, you've already achieved your object. Rejoice in the fact. Don't wander around moping and waiting for the chemical addiction to go. Get out there and enjoy life straight away. Life is marvelous, even while you're still addicted to nicotine, and each day you'll get better and better.
So you're saying the key to giving up is my frame of mind? The absolute certainty that I'll succeed.
Exactly. Along with the attitude, well, well, isn't it marvellous to be a non-smoker? Once you've got those two ideas in your mind, you'll find the whole thing ridiculously easy. Now, Michael, tell me honestly, do you believe what I'm saying? Do you agree with it?
Yes, I do.
Fine. If you really do, then you'll be able to stop. And so will all of you listening out there who feel the same way. If I haven't convinced you, then think over what I've said carefully and listen to side one again until the message becomes clear.
You're sure, though, that I can succeed?
Completely. All you have to do is to stay in a positive frame of mind during the withdrawal period, which is what I'm going to talk about next.
3 weeks, did you say, the withdrawal period?
Yes, but don't get hung up on that. You mustn't feel you've got 3 weeks of suffering ahead. You haven't. As I've tried to stress all along, the actual symptoms of nicotine withdrawal are very mild. It's just our attitude to them which causes the trouble. And in any case, you have to avoid the trap of thinking,
if I can only survive 3 weeks without a cigarette.
That's fatal. You have to say,
I'm never going to smoke again. Isn't that great?
Right from day one. All that'll happen, and it'll happen within 3 weeks at the most, is that any lingering temptation to smoke will finally and irrevocably disappear.
But that still is the most dangerous time.
Yes, certainly. But let's examine why that is. For these first 3 weeks, you may be subjected to withdrawal pangs. But these consist of two quite separate factors. First, the withdrawal pangs of nicotine itself. That empty, insecure feeling like a hunger, which smokers identify as something to do with their hands. And second, the psychological trigger mechanism of relieving these pangs at certain specific times, like when you're making a phone call or after a meal. It's important to distinguish between the two. The nicotine pangs themselves don't cause any physical pain, but they're not particularly pleasant. You probably will feel a bit irritable and touchy. But if you abstain for a few days, that actual physical craving soon disappears. It's the second factor, the psychological one, that causes the real problems.
And I suppose that's brainwashing again.
Correct. So you've got to counter it right from the start. Get it into your head. You don't need the cigarette. And you're only torturing yourself if you continue to regard it as some sort of prop or boost.
Right.
But whether the pang is due to actual withdrawal symptoms or the trigger mechanism, accept it. Don't worry about it. The feeling itself isn't bad. It's just the association with wanting a cigarette and then feeling denied that need which causes the problem. Instead of moping about it, do the opposite. Say to yourself,
I know what this is. It's the withdrawal pangs from nicotine. This is what smokers suffer all their lives. Non-smokers don't suffer in this way. It's just another of the many evils of the drug. Isn't it marvelous that I'm purging this evil from my body?
Do that, and you can actually enjoy the withdrawal pangs. They can become moments of pleasure, because you can actually feel yourself getting rid of the disease. You can actually think of the whole business of stopping as a kind of game. The nicotine monster is a sort of tapeworm in your stomach. You have to starve him to death for 3 weeks while he's going to try and trick you into keeping him alive.
Should I try and forget about smoking if I can?
No, no, no. This is the greatest mistake that smokers make with the willpower method. It's like when you can't get to sleep at night. The more you try to do it, the harder it gets. It becomes a phobia. It's impossible anyway. The little monster will keep reminding you for the first few days, and you'll keep seeing other smokers, plus all the advertising. But there's no need to forget anyway. Nothing bad's happening. It's as simple as this. For the next few days, your body will be craving nicotine. You've been suffering that craving most of your smoking life. And if you don't stop, you'll go on suffering it the rest of your life. But for the next few days, you've got something marvellous happening. The knowledge that you're going to be free. Use it. That way, the pangs cease to be pangs and become moments of pleasure. Even if you're thinking about the fact that you're giving up 1,000 times a day, savour each moment. Remind yourself every time how wonderful it is to be free again. The sheer joy of not having to choke yourself anymore. Above all, never doubt your decision. Once you start to doubt, you'll start to mope, and it'll get worse. Use the moment as a boost instead. Remind yourself of the £25,000 one cigarette will cost you. In fact, remember all the reasons you had for giving up, and still have. Remember that any unpleasant feelings you may have now were created by the cigarettes themselves in the first place. Above all, remember that these feelings are only temporary, and that each moment is a step nearer your goal.
When I've tried to give up before, I've always felt a tremendous temptation to take the odd puff after a couple of days, just to tide me over. I don't suppose that...
Why do you think you're still on 20 a day, Michael?
Well, yes, okay.
That odd puff is hideously damaging. Just think, you've starved the nicotine monster for a few days. One puff, and you've given him a lifeline. Worse than that, all the preparation you've done on your attitude is undermined. By taking that one drag, you're saying to yourself, look, in spite of all the logic, cigarettes are precious to me. I can't do without them. I want another one.
But the other danger point is when you have a really bad day in those first 3 weeks, right?
Sure. But it's back to that attitude question again, like everything else we've discussed. Okay, so smokers have bad days. That's life. What's smoking got to do with it? What were you like when you smoked? Saintly? A real St. Francis of Assisi? All you can say to yourself is something like, okay, today's not so good, but smoking won't cure it. Tomorrow will be better. And at least I've got a bonus at the moment. I've kicked that obscene habit.
Think positive.
That's it.
Do substitutes help? Chewing gum, sweets, that sort of thing?
Simple answer, no. They make it harder, not easier. Don't use any of them. If you get a pang and use a substitute, you're really telling yourself giving up smoking creates a void in your life, a void that needs filling, which is what this whole tape has been designed to show up as complete nonsense, and dangerous nonsense at that. Remember, there's no substitute for nicotine, and you don't need one. It's not a food, it's a poison. Above all, remember that cigarettes create the void. They don't fill it. And the quicker you teach your brain that you don't need them or anything else in their place, the sooner you'll be free.
How about nicotine chewing gum?
No, no, no. That's the worst of the lot. You see, what I've been trying to explain all along is that the main problem with giving up isn't the physical addiction, but the mental brainwashing. You must kill the idea that you need cigarettes, that cigarettes do something for you, that there's a void that they fill. If you keep taking nicotine into your system, you're just playing into the hands of that totally wrong state of mind. If you prolong the chemical addiction, you obviously prolong the mental addiction as well. And what is it you're trying to escape from?
Being addicted to nicotine.
Right. So why on earth should you want to prolong that appalling state of affairs?
Okay. But there are going to be situations which are more dangerous, so to speak, than others. Especially in those first 3 weeks. Perhaps I should just try to avoid these situations altogether.
Well, there are two types of situation. Stress situations, like going to the dentist, and social situations, like weddings or parties. I wouldn't really want to be dogmatic about that. Personally, I'd avoid stress situations during the withdrawal period, if you can. I mean, Why put undue pressure on yourself? On the other hand, I'd go to the social events. After all, they're there to be enjoyed. Go there and rejoice in the fact that you can enjoy yourself without having to smoke. In fact, you'll be proving to yourself how much better these occasions are without cigarettes.
And after the withdrawal period, is there a difference in how you feel?
Oh, yes, indeed. There's a moment of revelation, which generally comes about 3 weeks after you stop. It's the moment when the brainwashing ends completely and you're free. Instead of telling yourself all the time that you don't need to smoke, you suddenly realize that it's true. The last thread is broken, and you know you can enjoy the rest of your life without ever needing to smoke again. I myself feel that that moment is probably the most marvelous of my life. And a lot of ex-smokers I've talked to say the same thing, and that feeling of joy lasts too. So, are you ready, Michael?
Yes, I am.
You're confident of success?
Totally.
Are you feeling depressed about it?
No, quite the reverse. I feel very excited about it.
Good. Those are the two essentials. You've decided on giving up, and you're now ready to smoke your last cigarette. Smoke it alone, and don't smoke it subconsciously. Concentrate on every puff. Concentrate on the taste and the smell. Concentrate on the cancerous fumes going into your lungs. Concentrate on the poisons gunging up your arteries and veins. Concentrate on the nicotine going into your body. And then, when you put it out, just think how marvellous it'll be not to have to go on doing it. The joy of being freed from this slavery. It's like coming out of a world of black shadows into a world of sunshine. And as you emerge, spare a thought for that ever-diminishing band of addicts left on that sinking ship.